Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. And we've got some great questions on all different kinds of topics today, including a question from a listener asking about marathon weekend. What happens when you have folks that are running in the room and folks that are not running? They're just spectating, and you got to get up at 2:30 in the morning. They're going to get out there and watch you, but they don't have to get up quite as early. How do you manage that? What are the mechanics like as far as getting out of the room and try not to disturb everybody? Plus, we have lots of questions about the reopening of the theme parks, how the Rise of the Resistance boarding system is going to work over at the studios moving forward. Lots headed your way. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. If you want to support the show, and I know you do, book your next trip with the great folks over at the Magic for Less. Drop by their website at themagicforless.com. Check out all the great trip planning tools. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And if you mention the show, you and I are going to be working together on that next Disney adventure. So check them out today and support the folks who support us over at themagicforless.com. Two other ways, you can use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And you can become a patron of the show. Just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast for extra content, polls, discussions, photos from days gone by, and a mini podcast called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. Your support really does help us out over there. So check it out today over at patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1721 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hey, before we get going today, I want to just give you a little insider tip for the show. Check out BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We talk about that, you know, real quick at the top of every show. But if you want an app just to grab the show on the go, you can just bookmark that page right there to your smartphone. You know, just make that, you know, bookmark and put it on your home screen. And it works like a mobile app. So it's right there. You always get the latest show. Just one click. You can listen to the podcast. All the links for everything we use are on there. So I was looking at that the other day on the website. One of our listeners designed that for us about 6 months ago, and it's just working great. So if you need to, you know, I was thinking about, you know, we used to have an app, and, you know, should we go back to an app? This is basically, it's the best form of an app. It's very efficient. It's very clean, and you can just add that to your home screen. So maybe do that this week. It's an easy way to grab the show. All right, we are going to get together to answer your listener questions because it is Wednesday, and we're living the Be Our Guest podcast bubble life here. We're in our separate three bubbles of rectangles here live on Facebook as we record. So joining me from her little rectangle down in the southeastern United States, we have Ricky from touringplans.com and the Mouse for Less with its new logo. What's going on, Ricky?
I know. The logo is so awesome. I haven't told Cam yet, but I mean, I'm absolutely in love with it. So it's so good.
It was good.
Yes. It's good and clean. So what's going on down in the ATL?
Just living the dream. You know how that is. That's pretty much it.
She's living the dream. I'm living the nightmare. Something's wrong, I know, right? Between that, you know, 500 mile swing there. I don't know where the line is.
You got to make the best of a bad situation. So I'm just doing what I can to make the best of it all. Yeah. So
I'm the same way. All right. Yeah. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's up, Pam? Happy Friday or Wednesday or whatever day it is, Monday.
Whatever day, it's fine.
What? Yes, of course it's Wednesday because we're doing listener questions. So it's, you know, it's good. I am really impressed and just excited about the number of people who've been contacting us about wanting to go to Disney or Universal or on that cruise. I think that the videos we've seen coming out of Disney have been incredible. We have some agents that have been down there opening day and on. They report great things happening. The social distancing is happening. In fact, everyone's like, I feel safer at Disney World than at the grocery store. Amen to that, people. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Disney's just a little bit more fun than the grocery store. Just going to say, not that I'll ever take going to the grocery store for granted again, I will say, right? It was like an outing, an acceptable outing for many months, the grocery store. But yes, So exciting is what I have to say. Really, it seems like they're doing things right. It's awesome.
It is. It's good to see that, you know, and I was emailing a few guests, and we talked about this on Sunday night's live call-in show, because we had a lot of folks call in that had been there this weekend. You know, some went to the AP preview, some went Saturday and Sunday to, you know, to the Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. And the thing was, I was emailing with a guest earlier today, and the thing that excites me the most is that, and I know this sounds dorky, but you're listening to our podcast, so you're probably going to get what I'm saying here. If I was talking to anybody that didn't understand this outside of our BOGP bubble that we live in, they would be like, you know, hit me in the head with a hammer. But it was good to see that the Magic Kingdom had a heartbeat again, you know, because for a while there, you know, I just kept imagining March, April, May, June. You know, this is a place that's vibrant. It has sounds. It has, you know, kids laughing, kids melting down in Fantasyland at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I mean, it's got, you know, it's got smells. It's got smiles. It's got, you know, a life of its own. It's a place that for the last, you know, I've been a Disney fan, you know, hardcore for probably the last 15 years. And every single day, no matter what I was doing, I could think about it. And right, we've done these shows, you know, right now at Walt Disney World, somebody's hopping on Peter Pan or somebody's getting off the TTA or something like that. And it just sat stagnant. So, Pam, do you kind of get what I'm saying? Like, it finally had a heartbeat, and it finally was doing what it was supposed to be doing there for a bit.
Yeah, I think everyone had a lot of maybe questions, some anxiety about what things were going to look like. Did you feel like you could really be safe when you were there? How were the cast members going to do things? How was Disney going to do things? How were they going to, you know, just make you feel comfortable and safe again? And most of the reports have just been glowing about how things have been going there. And you have to give credit to Universal and Disney in this space. And I think eventually we'll see this with the cruise lines as well. There's no one that wants these places to be open more than Universal and Disney. Mm-hmm. Honest to gosh, when you're sitting there and they were saying how much money Disney was losing each day, I mean, you know, and they were closed again and again, and they were still paying cast at different times, and Universal was too. It was just a long period of time, and they want to get back to doing what they do best, which I guess is kind of what my company is thinking right now. We just want to get back to doing what we do best, and that's planned vacations. And everyone's going to have a different comfort level about when it's, you know, right for them to travel, and I completely respect that. But I think for those who want to travel and who are comfortable with it, that they've made a place where many of those people can feel safe going. And I think we'll see that continue to roll out. I know that safety is their first priority, and we saw that during the opening phase. And I think we'll continue to do that too.
So. That's absolutely right. And the thing is, we had this discussion on Sunday night on the call-in show, so I'm not going to rehash it, you know, too much. But the thing is, you know, everybody's got a comfort level with different things in their life, you know, and it depends on your circumstances. I mean, some people have pre-existing conditions that will skew how comfortable they are in a situation like this, because it is super important. Some people, you know, perceive themselves to be 100% healthy and, you know, a little bit. Yeah, it's just I compared it to, you know, for years and years we did that. We've done the show now for 12 and a half years. And for probably the first 7 years we did the podcast, I would not get on an airplane. It was irrational. It was crazy. But the thing was, it was my comfort level. I was scared to death. I wouldn't have enjoyed it. As soon as I would have booked those airline tickets for the next 6 months, I would have been having nightmares. I just know that's how I was, you know, and I was more comfortable with the 14 and a half hours of agony in the car with a newborn in the back seat. I mean, for most of those trips over driving overnight to comfort her. But the thing was, nobody called me out and said, you know what? I mean, people might have said it in the, you know, behind my back, and that's fine. At least you were nice. You didn't like, that guy's an idiot. Why didn't he fly? I mean, I was. I mean, I was a total idiot. You know, like I, because then, you know, my dad was always on me. He was always like, I'm telling you, it's safer. I'll feel better if you fly, because the statistics bear out. You know, it's much better if you get on an airplane and fly to Florida in 2.5 hours than to be driving through Chattanooga in the, you know, the northern Georgia mountains at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're tired. He's like, pulling a trailer. You know, he's like, stop, you know, he's like, stop the insanity. But nobody ever gave me a hard time. And I think in these times, you know, everybody's got an opinion on everything, and I get that, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. But the thing with social media, I just want to say this one more time, is that I think we need to just, you know, if you don't agree with what people are doing, whether not going or going, you know, just kind of think before you hit that tweet button or that send button, because everybody has their circumstances. Everybody's going to have a different comfort level. Everybody was kind to me and didn't call me out for not flying. even though I was, you know, looking back, I was totally an idiot for not flying for all those years. But I mean, everybody, you know, just show some mercy on this on social media. I mean, Ricky, you're tuned into the social media. It's one of the things you do. And I just, that's my opinion. I think we just all have different comfort levels, and I hope we can show a little grace.
Absolutely. I think that that's the biggest thing is people just don't take other people's comfort levels into mind. And if you don't have the same comfort level that somebody else has, like, you're right. You're, a, you know, an idiot or whatever you want to, you know, say you're wrong or however you want to call that person or whatever. And it's true. Like you, everybody has a different comfort level based off of research that they've done or what they've heard or whatever, and what they're doing in their life. And, you know, so I think that that's all going to play into things. So, you know, again, we just need to be nice and kind to each other and remember that kindness is key. And, you know, go from there. So I think that that's, you know, it would be nice if we could be a little kinder on social media. But
I know, I don't understand why people feel such the need to feel a certain way and then want everybody else in the world to feel the same way. Like it becomes their mission in life. It's weird. It often makes me wonder, like, I don't know, and I don't know how well this will be received, but how secure do you feel in your belief if everyone else has to feel the same way for you to feel good about it? I don't, you know, it's just weird. And the people who just seem so intent on, for lack of better words, raining on somebody else's parade, it hurts my heart. Like if that's what the focus of your communication with the world is, I don't know. I feel sad for you. Like, can't you be happy for someone else, even if you don't 100% agree with it?
Yeah, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm jealous. I'm turning green this weekend because like I'm seeing 5 minute waits for, you know, walk on space. You get the whole rocket to yourself. I'm like, God, that's what I've dreamed about for my whole life. But then again, like I can't be mad for people that are, my circumstances right now don't allow me to travel. I mean, it's a lot financial because I mean, that's how I make my living and it's not been going great for a while. I mean, I'm just trying to cut back a little here and there.
Right.
But that's my circumstance. So I'm not mad that people are there. I just, you know, am I turning a little green? Yeah, because it's like, oh my gosh, it's so fun. And I think we're all kind of there, but I'm not going to get on anybody. I'm just glad to see that I have stuff to look at. You know, like it's fun to see people.
I know. I'm so excited for people who were there. I'm so excited for the members of our team who were there and, you know, just all, I'm so excited for everyone who's there, really and truly. So, you know, I hope that that continues. I really do. And I hope that we can all share in their excitement. And this is what we all love. I mean, we all have a connection with this place. And it's perfectly, I think, natural for all of us to want to see the opening continue to go well. So I think we'll all hope for that. And that's our little platform for the day.
That's okay. Let's step down. Let's step down because we have some listener questions here. So Alfred's asking, what kind of mask is a double layer mask? He's very confused. So Ricky, I think that Disney put this out that you're supposed to have a double layer mask and you're not supposed to have a bandana. Like, they don't want somebody jumping off a stagecoach and bandits. And they don't also want neck gaiters. That's the, you know, Survivor style. I call it what do they call it on Survivor? A buff. Because I have one now. Yes. And I was totally going to, when I go down, I was totally going to wear it because, like, Ben sent me one. They're so cool. Yeah. They're lizard. Gators. Yeah. I didn't know what a gator was until this all started happening. I'm learning all kinds of stuff because of COVID. But so the double, they're not going around and checking like, oh, you got two layers, you got three. I mean, they just want to see a quality mask, right?
So basically, I mean, the double layer thing is you've got the outside layer and then the inside.
Are we talking Charmin or Angel Soft?
That's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, this is your Charmin quality grade mask.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, just think about the fact that, like, when you look at a mask, more than likely, if you've bought a mask lately, it is probably a double layer. So if you, like, you know, pull on it, you can pull two different layers of fabric is basically what I'm saying. A single layer mask, if you pull on it, you're only pulling one layer of fabric. So
this is science 101 right here. This is deep.
Exactly. that should make sense. Smartness. That's me. But that's basically, they want to make sure that there's that double layer protection, because like if you are coughing or sneezing or talking, they want to make sure that, you know, the aerosols that we've been hearing so much about don't go through as easily, and that's why they're looking for double layered masks is basically.
And I think this is, we always refer to rules like this as like a butthead rule. Like, it's not like they're going up to everyone and touching their mask and being like, is this double layer or not? But if you're being a butthead and they have to pull out the rules, then at that point, we're going to drill down to the double layer thing. You know what I mean? So anyways, we don't, butthead is a nice word.
Right. And I get the frustration for not being able to use a gator or, you know, whatever. I understand, you know, Brian's been using one around here.
Gators are cool looking.
They're cool. But I mean, again, if you're looking for, I get, again, they're trying to keep the safety and health in mind of everyone. So it's just the best way to make sure that everyone's kind of uniform in the kind of masks that they have instead of, you know, they're just trying to keep everybody as safe as possible. So like, I get the frustration, but it's really just to look out for everybody.
And Jeff's been there. He said he had a double layer gator and that doesn't fly either. So he, the gator actually put in the rules,
no gators. Yeah. Like, it's actually spelled out.
And Alfred, a medical mask and the ones they sell are, yes, correct. Yeah. Those are double.
Yeah, those have, we have boxes of those, like the blue ones. That's what my wife wears.
Yes, and the girls. I have the blue ones too.
They look like surgeons. They come back in.
Yes.
We suit up and we scrub to about our elbows when we come back in from being
No joke. One of, because Pam's a school teacher, public school. And so they're going back as of right now, who knows, but like her colleague sent her a link and we don't know if she was serious or not. Cause she's kind of a senile old lady, but you know, probably shouldn't be teaching anymore. Hope she's not listening, but she sent a picture of Pam. And it's like, if you, I don't know if you've been to like the Chick-fil-A drive-thrus, but like they wear these like little tents. Like it's basically like a clear tent that goes to your waist and like your arms pop out the sides, but you're in this, like, it's like, it is like a little plastic bubble. You're in, your arms pop out the sides, but it zips up like around your waist. So the whole like upper torso, you're in this like contraption. I'm like, dude, if you have to wear that to teach, I don't know if you should go back. Like, you got to wear your own little, like, you know, the house around you. I don't know. So, yeah, I keep telling her, though, she could, you know, she could teach all day. Then she'd go Chick-fil-A and work the drive through at night. You know,
there you go.
Get her hustle on. All right. Lindsay's got the next question. Hey, guys, I have a trip for February. I need to assign park passes. We'll definitely want to do Rise of the Resistance at Hollywood Studios. With the new process, do I need to book more than one day of park passes for the studios? I'm asking because I have PTSD from the queue in January where so many people missed out. So she was there. Okay. Good news, though, that we got on the Rise boarding groups and we said we wanted this to happen back a long time ago.
Who said it? I'm just pointing that out there.
I'm still going to win this bet, though.
That was me. I said it.
I know. But the good news is now they're doing so. They don't want everybody there at 6 o'clock in the morning, like in January. They don't want everybody there getting their boarding pass for the day. What they're doing is releasing them throughout the day. I think it's like at park opening, 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 10, something like
1
that.
And 4.
Yeah. Smart. Yes. Hugely smart. So give her some feedback. Ricky, what do you say as far as she's asking, with the new process, do I need to book more than one day of park passes for the studios for Rise?
First of all, bravo, Disney. Thanks for listening to me. Good job. Sure you're welcome, world. I'm glad I suggested it. Anyway, so as of this recording, I mean, we don't exactly know how this process is going to go because the parks haven't officially opened up at Hollywood Studios because they haven't been test. They, you know, they've been doing cast member previews right now, but they haven't been testing with the boarding pass process. So we're not entirely sure how it's going to work. But I would think that if you want to make sure, and I would think, the hard part is not knowing 100%, but I would think that if you got there by the 10 o'clock time, you would have those three chances to get a boarding pass. And I think you'd probably have a good shot for one day. If, you know, you didn't get your boarding pass on that day, then maybe you would look at trying to rearrange and see if you can get the boarding pass or see if you can get the park pass. There's too many passes for the following day or another day on your trip. So I would go early to Hollywood Studios. And then if it didn't work out, then I would try to rearrange and see if you could get a park pass for later in the week. I think they've been open so far, you know, for not annual pass holders. I think they've been open for regular guests to be able to kind of ebb and flow a little bit and change their plans. So that's good. But yeah, as of the recording of this, I'm not entirely sure how many people they're going to let in the park versus how many people are going to be able to get a boarding pass for that day. So, unfortunately.
And one other thing, well, I have my soapbox out, so let me grab it real quick.
All right.
Okay. So, and I talked about this on Sunday night too. So I was listening to a tech podcast. This guy's a national radio guy. He puts it out as a podcast as well, but he's on a syndicated radio show, Leo Laporte. I met him. He's one of my, I look to him as he takes calls and stuff. So I really look up to him, and he's outside of the travel industry. He's a tech guy, but he has a segment every Saturday with Johnny Jett, who's a travel guru, you know, not just Disney, but he does know Lillian from The Unofficial Guide. They're friends and stuff. So I talked to her about that at a media event once. Anyway, either way, they're not in the Disney bubble, but they talk travel for a minute. So, of course, this past weekend, they talk about Walt Disney World reopening with all the COVID stuff happening, you know. And what's the one thing they brought up? They saw one picture this weekend. What's the picture they talked about? It was the one from Seven Dwarfs Mine Train during the cast member preview. Okay, so they thought that's exactly, you know, they didn't know it was cast member preview. They didn't know the circumstances. It had a bad look. Today, as we're recording this on Monday, there was the cast member preview over at the studios. And there was a picture of Rise in that room where you meet the stormtroopers. And everybody's seen that one. It's on all the media stuff, so no spoilers. But it was not ideally socially distanced. But I think the thing we have to remember is this is the first time those cast members are dealing with an entirely new system. And this was the first group of people to go through Rise at that point. Yes, it was not good. It's a bad look. But the thing is, you know, they're going to learn from that. And I heard immediately that they corrected the situation. You know, it's probably not easy to manage hundreds of people in a brand new way and get it perfect the first time through. You know how many mistakes I made teaching when I learned how to teach or when I learned how to become a travel agent? You know, I was trying to figure out how to get people's final payment reminders and make deposits and, you know, all these. You got to have a little bit of a learning curve. I know this is a more serious thing because it's people's health, but again, have some mercy. They're learning. They're going to get better as this goes on. Pam, I don't know. Like, I just want to say that because I just don't think out of the gates, everything can be perfect. I think you do the best and you learn, especially cast members. I mean, don't you think, Pam? Because, they've been out of the game for four, like baseball players. They're going through, like, you know, so they're calling it summer camp, but they're getting 3 weeks to get ready to play ball again. You know, these guys are like right in hot. Let's do this.
No, absolutely. I heard in both of those circumstances, within 5 minutes of that picture being taken, the situation was corrected itself. And Disney stepped in, made changes, and addressed it. And I think that's what's so hurtful is that in terms of being people and in terms of social media, people take a photo and act like that represents what most of the things look like. And it doesn't. And it causes more hurt than one can realize. It's as if I'm so thankful that no one was following me around with a camera when I was younger, right? Because I can't count the number of mistakes that I've made in my life that I'm so thankful are not, you know, recorded for all to see for the rest of time. It's just, you know, there were cast members who were disciplined because of that photo taken at Seven Dwarfs. Because it got so much publicity, because in journalism, all you have to do is say to someone, journalism, I'll put them in quotes, because all you have to do is say, well, so-and-so reported on this photo and put it out there. And there's no explanation of what happened before or after. There's no, you don't get the whole story. You get this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And even a photograph may not necessarily be a good representation of what happens sometimes, because it is just a moment in time. It's not all of that. So it broke my heart that cast members got in trouble for that photo, because we're just have this insatiable appetite for something that's negative, honestly. I mean, there are people who go into a situation, you know, looking for the negative. And if you go in that way, you're certainly going to find it, be it in life, be it in on a vacation, be it in whatever. So, you know, you can't control everything in the world. The only thing you can control is the way that you respond to it. So it did break my heart for those cast members who got in trouble because of that photo. It just did. And I hate to see things like that happen. Yeah. So, again, we're back to the extending a little grace. You know, hopefully people can extend as much grace as they would like to receive.
Yeah, it wasn't either picture. You know, clearly not what is expected. You know, but the thing is, again, you got to learn and you got to give people a chance. And if any of those people in that picture had issues with that, they shouldn't have been there. You know, like, I mean, if you're that concerned, you should not be there. And I know somebody, Candace, I think, mentioned, like, our Carmen, you got to be careful when you're coming back to your... I 100% agree. Like, if you're going back to New York City with all they went through in March and April, I mean, quarantine, mm-hmm. please. You know, like, I mean, but that's... There's a price to pay for everything. I mean, you know, whether you're paying financially, like when you go to Walt Disney World and I go down for 10 days, usually in the summer, you know, I pay financially. I save all year. I don't do this, and this throughout the year so that I can have a longer vacation in the summer. That's my trade-off. You know, now the trade-off is time. You know, when you go to Walt Disney World and have a fun weekend, 4 or 5 nights, go to the parks, you have a good time. When you get back, you're giving up, you know, in some cases, 14 days of a little freedom, you know. But I mean, it is, everything's a trade-off. So again, let's just throw that in there. All right, so let's get to another email. Oh, this one's from Emily. I got to get this because this came in this afternoon. She says Splash Mountain in January. So I was talking with Marlessa, and she's saying how she loves Splash Mountain. It's her favorite attraction, one of our listeners. And she's going out for marathon weekend. Let's cross her fingers. And she was saying, oh, I got to ride Splash Mountain. And I said, Splash Mountain is never open over marathon weekend. And so Emily sent me this email with the hugest picture, and it's a great picture. She says, I'm currently listening to the episode on the podcast where you and Marlessa are talking about Splash Mountain. She said it's her favorite ride and hopes it'll still be open for marathon weekend. You responded to her that it's never open marathon weekend, but it is. We rode at marathon weekend 2018. Yes, it was cold. And I remember this specifically because it's my desktop picture, so I see it every day. We wore the ridiculous hats as we ran the 10K. So it looked like I looked like Animal from the Muppets was on the ride. Tell her there's a chance. Stay safe and thanks for all the shows. Yes. So the people in this picture, and I'll have to get permission. Maybe I can post it on our Instagram. I mean, it looks like the Iditarod. Like these people are in, I mean, like the coats that not only have hoods. Yes. But, like, they have the fur around the outside of the face.
Oh, my gosh, I love it.
Oh, my gosh. Like, everybody's got on gloves. Somebody's got on, like, everybody's got at least a stocking cap. There's two animals, totally, like, stocking caps. People are, it's the greatest picture ever. But they look like they're plunging into an icy death, which they might have been. I mean, it was cold, so.
Got it.
Yes, it was cold that week.
I think a lot of the reason for its closure in the winter is because the attraction goes down
for refurbishment.
For refurbishment. Yeah, exactly. And since it's, you know, going to be closing, I mean, who knows if it goes down for refurbishment before it goes down for, you know, the actual redo of the attraction. So, I mean, there's a chance it could go down for refurbishment in the winter, like usually that January time period. But there's also a chance that it may not. And as of right now, we have no idea because it's still way too early at this point for Disney to announce any of that. So.
But I mean, it does go down every winter for refurbishment because that's.
But who knows what's going to happen this winter because it's closing eventually for the redo of Splash Mountain. So we don't know at this point.
All right. Sean from Maryland's got a good question. It's help us get some sleep. All right. So, Sean, if I help you, I need a little myself. I did take a nap today in the world. You know, Ken, again, Chicago Marathon got canceled. Jordan Hicks says he's not playing this year, our closer for the Cardinals. I'm not taking any more naps. Like, the world can't handle my naps, apparently, for an hour. I was just tired. All right. He says, hey, everyone at BOGP. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. A large group of us are going down for marathon weekend. My wife is running Dopey, and I'm doing the 10K and the full. My question is, what advice do you have when you have some runners in your group and some spectators? Do you have any tips for getting out the door without waking everyone else up? We'll have a sleeping 3-year-old and a sister-in-law. Where's the best place to meet up? Okay, so then he's got a question about boarding groups for rides. Okay, so I've done this obviously many, many times. And the thing is, I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. No. No, by Saturday, I really don't care because I'm so tired. I really don't care. Like, they get to go back to sleep and I'm going to be outside for the next 6 hours, you know, running That's my true. Butt off. And they're going to be, you know... Well, you guys, like on marathon, and I love you guys for coming out and cheering us on. But like when I'm running the marathon, you guys are at Kona Cafe having some Tonga toast. But I appreciate you guys being there. I get it. I do the same thing.
Hey, we go cheer.
I know. I can't blame you. I'm not saying I blame you. I love you guys for being there. But you're having Tonga toast. Anyway, you know, yeah, it's not ideal, especially the 3-year-old. Now, that's something because the 3-year-old wakes up and, you know, they think it's morning and it's like, you know, it's like a puppy. You know, it's like you're done. You got to strategically, and I've done this like at Pop Century, like in a value room where the whole family's there. I'm the only one running, or maybe it was Paige that year, But I, you know, you got to think about like, where are you going to sleep in which one of the beds? Do you want to sleep closest to the door? And I, you know, and the whole thing is you do this as a runner anyway, you lay everything out the night before. Because anyway, when you're getting up at 2:30 in the morning, you're not cognitively functioning correctly. And especially knowing, especially if it's super cold, you're getting ready to march outside, get on a bus, get in a line, all that kind of stuff. So just lay out as much as you can. I use my flashlight on my phone. I don't turn on the lights in the room. And I kind of stumble through until I get out. And then, you know, the best place to meet up is just, you know, like a lot of times I'll run with Scott. We'll meet either at the bus, like stop, you know, we're going to get on the bus over to Epcot or outside our rooms. We've met up everywhere. So
well, there's also if you're looking to meet up with other lizards too. I mean, there is usually a lizard meetup too.
I'm saying like we stay at the same hotel though. So we meet up.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. I'm just saying if you're talking about meeting up with other runners, that's also a place that, you know, you can meet up at the, you know, place.
Yeah, the L bag check is usually where we are.
The L, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, the whole thing is I think you just the spectators have to understand that it's, you know, it's your deal. Like you guys are running, but I mean, you're going to be, it sounds like Sean's the one whose wife's going to be waking him up 2 a.m. because he's doing the 10 in the full. So on Thursday and Saturday, she's going to be waking. So dude, she's going to run dopey, give her a kiss, go back to sleep. Like, oh, and make it like it's a big sacrifice. Like, oh, I can't believe you woke me up. You know, maybe she'll buy you a cinnamon roll or something later in the day.
Gosh.
I don't know. No, you buy her a cinnamon roll. She's doing dopey.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, that's how it is. I mean, Pam, can you think of anything else? Just, I would say have your stuff laid out and just, you know, use like a cell phone flashlight instead of kicking the lights on. You know, don't turn on Stacey.
No, I agree. It's like the key is to be prepared. Grab your stuff and get out. Like, don't wake up way early because you're not going to want to wake up any earlier than you already are. And do everything you can the night before. Yeah. So
then and you're not going to sleep anyway. You don't sleep before the races. I mean, I don't. And I've done them for, you know, years and years. Okay, so the question. Also, two other quick questions. Can you explain the new Rise of the Resistance boarding groups? I've read it 3 times and I'm just a little slow. I guess because I don't get it. And finally, how can we support you on the Amazon through the app? I keep thinking my wife could fund the show for a year if it hooked up her Amazon app. So I'm liking this. Thanks for being thank you for being like an extended member of my family, Sean from Maryland. That means so much. I mean, that we're right there with you, Sean. Thank you so much. So here's the thing with the app and the Amazon thing. I don't know how it works through the app, but if you can just like put stuff in your cart, this is the best. I know it's kind of a pain in the butt, but it really would help. Throw everything in your cart. Just go to the desktop, go to brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You just click through there. It takes you straight to the Amazon page. You're logged into your account, the cart, just check out, you know, and if you could do that, you know what? You'll be a member of the family. I'll make you a brother. I don't have a brother, so come on over. Okay, so real quick, Rise of Resistance. We talked about that briefly. Give him a little background, Ricky, just so you can get and go see everybody in the Star Wars galaxy.
Yes. Okay. So how it works is, and I've done it the old way, so I'm kind of basing it off of that a little bit. But in order to be able to ride Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, you have to be able to get into the virtual queue. You have to have the My Disney Experience app in order to be able to get into the virtual queue. Now, in order to be able to obtain the boarding pass, once you enter the park, you need to log into your account into your My Disney Experience app. Once logged in, you'll need to select Star Wars Rise of the Resistance Virtual Queue, which will show up on the app. I mean, you'll see it. It's plain as day. It's one of the first things that shows up on the app.
But it doesn't light up until you're in the park. That's what could confuse him, right?
Correct. Yes, it will not light up until you're in the park. And they've released boarding passes. So keep that in mind, too. You'll be able to view the current status of the land. So you'll be able to see if the land has boarding passes available and learn the next steps for joining the virtual queue. The app will then indicate when there's no availability for a specific distribution time, and there will be backup boarding groups available. So if you get to the park and say it's the 10 o'clock distribution time, right? And they've released all of the slots for that 10 o'clock time period, right? That they're going to release. And say all those slots get sold out. You don't get in on that one. They'll have the backup boarding group, which means then you have an opportunity to potentially ride the attraction later. I know this gets really confusing.
This
I understand.
Is all to get on a ride, people. Remember the light when you used to walk
I
up
know,
to something?
I know. I don't know why they decided to add the backup boarding, or the. I don't know why they decided to do a virtual queue for this. I mean, I kind of do because I've seen the lines today. But yes, it's so much more confusing. Okay. So if you are in a backup boarding group, though, you may or may not have the opportunity to ride. However, if you get the backup boarding group at 10 o'clock in the morning, you still have two other shots, it looks like, to be able to potentially get it, because you could try again at 1 p.m. or you can try again at 4 p.m. Obviously, the earlier you get there, the better shot you have at getting in on the Rise of the Resistance. As long as the guest My Disney Experience account is linked to all the guests in your party, in your group, you can get a reservation for a virtual queue for everyone. However, do keep in mind, they have to be in the park with you.
Yep.
So you can't just send one person to go and get all the, you know, virtual queue spots for your family and then come back later. So everyone has to be there. You can only enter the virtual queue one time per day. And you'll want to make sure that you turn on push notifications for My Disney Experience, because that will mean that will help alert you when it's your time to board. So guests will have 1 hour from the time of the alert to go to the entrance of Star Wars Rise of the Resistance to be able to ride the attraction. And as Disney always says, joining the virtual queue does not guarantee your ability to experience Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, because the attraction may go down for, you know, one reason or another too. So I know it's kind of clear as mud, but when you get there, it's easy to understand once you're there, I think, you know, and you have your boarding pass and everything like that. The key is just getting there and getting on the My Disney Experience app at one of the three times to join that you can join the virtual queue. I think that's kind of the big key right there.
That's good. That's good description. Now, Michelle does have the question that I thought of immediately. If you're in the backup group for 10 a.m., can you get into the queue later? It says one time per day. I think we're gonna have to wait and see on that one for sure. I would suspect
if you look, that's the part that confuses me as well. Like, why have a backup boarding group?
Yeah, I was also wondering if you got multiple opportunities in one day to get in. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm wondering if the backup boarding group is really just going to be offered maybe for like that 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's
slot.
What I would say. Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen. So again, we don't know 100%, but I'm sure that they probably wouldn't have the backup boarding group for the 10 a.m. boarding slot. But then again, hey, who knows? I've been wrong before.
We'll know soon. All right. Last couple questions come from Rebecca. And she says, hello, Mike. I would love for those who use masks outdoors for extended periods of time to elaborate on what type of masks they use and if they're able to breathe well with the Disney branded masks. I recently read that Disney is requiring masks to be 2 layers thick, but my kids wear a single layer mask so they can breathe easier. Are they really inspecting everyone's mask to ensure they're double layers or look to be thick enough? So we kind of talked about this earlier in the show, but I brought this up because Ricky, now they're too small, and I see you've been crying for mercy on Twitter to get.
I finally got a hold of Disney. By the way, I just want to say my masks were too small. I cannot wear them. And I finally got a hold of somebody from Disney, and they actually gave me a $20 gift card, which was very, very nice of them. So I still have the masks. They didn't ask me to send them back. And I got the $20 gift card. So that part is nice, but yeah, I can't wear them.
So what about, like, did you try it? Like, I mean, did you hold it up and see like how, cause I don't have any of the Disney ones. Yeah. I had a listener make me some, so I'm excited.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. Seriously. Linda, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, are they like, what's the thickness and the breathability?
I mean, they're decently thick. I mean, you know, it's not like it's going to be overbearing for you. I think it'll be fine. So I haven't worn them around outside. I usually, when I go out, my work was supplying us with the medical kind of masks. So I really have been kind of using those for the most part, because they're technically the better masks, you know, from what I've seen research wise, like the actual medical style masks, not the N95 masks, but the other ones. Mm-hmm. Those are technically the better ones for keeping the virus out. So that's what I've been using, just because I have access to them. If I didn't have access to them, though, I have my own cloth mask that I've worn as well. And I mean, it's not bad wearing the cloth mask when I've done it. The one thing that you got to do is really, I just try to not think about it. And I know that's hard when it's hot, but like I just try to, when I'm getting hot with the mask on, I just try to focus my attention on something else, and then it's easy for me to just kind of have that thought disappear of, oh my gosh, I'm heating up, I'm getting too hot, my breath is smelly, you know, everything, all those things that come in your brain at that point. So yeah, I just kind of try to distract myself with something, and it seems to help me a lot.
And of course, our dear friend Joanne, she lives right outside the Magic Kingdom. She says, I've used 4 different masks in the Florida heat. The easiest one to wear for long periods of time are the paper surgical. And I know everybody wants to wear the cute ones. But, right. You know, if I was going here anytime soon, I would definitely bring a box of the paper surgical ones. And, you know, bust out the cute one when you go out at night when it's dark. Well, I mean, you can't really even go out. You know, the parks aren't open that late anymore. But, you know, there's a backup. I'd have the surgical ones. That's because I'm hearing the same thing. All right. The last question, Pam, let's see if you know. Do you have any idea if Typhoon Lagoon will be open by early September? We don't know. Right, water parks?
We do not know yet. No, what that's going to be. And I'm not sure what the delay is on this. I'm not sure if it's an operational issue and it's just not maybe feasible for them to open up the water parks with the reduced capacity that they're restricted to. I don't know. I really, truly don't. But hopefully that we'll get to see them sometime soon. They are selling the water park, the ticket with water parks, of course, in 2021. So I hope that's a good indicator. And I hope that we'll get to see it soon.
I agree. I think that I was thinking about this afternoon as this came in earlier. And, you know, with a water park, there's a lot, you know, if you're going to get a water park open, you got to get all those chemicals in the water. Social distancing is probably more of a challenge even at a water park than a theme park, which is kind of hard to believe. But, you know, because you have the masking, you know, issue with people that are on an attraction. You know, you can't really have, like around here, people can swim. But if they're in the pool, they don't have to have a mask on. But if they're walking to the pool, I think it's going to be like that would be your policing nightmare, really, at a water park. So I think they're kind of weighing their options, trying not to fight that battle immediately. I think everybody's kind of like, let's get the basics going, and then let's take baby steps towards normalcy, maybe. We'll see. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for the great questions. Fun Disney conversations again. Crazy times. We have some answers we have to wait and see what happens, but I sure appreciate you writing in. Send your questions to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Get those on the show next Wednesday, or just drop by. We record every Monday around 5:45 Eastern, so drop on in over on facebook.com/brguestpodcast. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Like Pam said earlier, we're booking a lot of 2021 trips, you know, kind of vacations postponed. And we're going to make them bigger and better in 2021. So drop by themagicforless.com. That's the great place to get started. They have all the trip planning tools, you know, resort guides, and you can kind of, you know, I get lost there just looking at the pictures of French Quarter. I miss French Quarter. I miss Riverside. You know, like, I just like looking at those places. Of course, we can't book those right now, so don't go putting that on your quote form for right now. That's a bad example. But you know what? Here's the thing to do, and this is what I'm telling my guests. Book an available resort, you know, one that you're happy with, you know, try something new, even if Riverside's your favorite place, you know, look at something that we can book. And then the thing is, if things start to get better, Disney could reopen those resorts. It's a couple clicks and bam, you're back at Riverside if it's open, you know, based on availability and so forth. So, you know, simple ways to go about it. Of course, we're going to be changing things. Things are very fluid right now. But the bottom line is, life's better when you have a Disney trip on the books. It's better for everybody. Mentally, I got to have a trip on the books. And I have marathon weekends, so that's at least keeping me sane right now. And please don't pull that rug out from under me right now, Disney, because I got to have something. You know, I lost my reliever today. I lost the Chicago Marathon. I've said that 7 times. Don't do that to me. So anyway, drop by the Magic for Less. Get that trip on the books and, you know, do some dreaming. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, we talked about the Amazon affiliate link. If you could please use that, it really does help. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And get in on the fun of Patreon. Patreon.com/brguestpodcast. We took a poll earlier this weekend. How did Disney do with this weekend's opening? And I think I averaged it all out about 8.5 on a scale of 1 to 10. So, and we got great comments, too. You know, they're doing the best they can. Not perfect, but the best they can. So, fun conversations over there. And of course, you get Mike in the Midwest, a really kind of crazy podcast every Thursday. Just about, what did we talk about last week? Sounds of Summer. We talked about cicada and lawnmowers and sprinklers that go, ch-ch-ch-ch. I know, really, it's not that great. To
yes. But,
I mean, okay, if that's your thing, it's that's your thing. And it's some people's thing. It's kind of crazy, but we have fun. So patreon.com/brguestpodcast. All right, we are going to get out of here and we'll be back on Friday where we're taking a listener suggestion. We're going to talk about, you know what? If you have to work from home this fall, and let's face it, this was kind of my jam, Pam. Like, I've been doing this for 4 years now. I like it, but it's different. If you have to work from home, why not work from Walt Disney World? We'll give you some tips where Walt Disney World could be your office and it could be a successful trip. So take advantage of the times. So we're going to talk about that on Friday. So until we get back again together, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.